The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Maybe you're looking for replacement contact lenses. Maybe you're suffering from dry eye. Well, whatever your problem might be, we have Dr. Arthur Cummings of the Wellington Eye Centre at the Beacon joining us to answer all your questions. Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Good to be here.
Now, talk to me about dry eye, because a lot of people tend to call us and text us with that problem. What causes it, and why do some people have it and other people never will?
Yeah, it's so common, Pat, today. It's incredible. So the main contributor today, likely, is just the use of screens. When we're looking at screens all the time, we tend to blink less well, and when we blink less well, we don't produce the oil component of tears. That would be one big reason. The second one would be the side effects of certain medications. There are a number of medications we use on a daily basis that make our eyes more dry, like antihistamines, like antihypertensives, medications you're using for your blood pressure, anti-cholesterol medications. So there are quite a few of those. And then there are quite a few medical conditions that can contribute, things like rheumatoid arthritis and some of the other collagen vascular disorders. They can all contribute to it. But the biggest contributor, why it's suddenly become such a big problem, is the way we've changed our lifestyle to spending so much time on screens and we're not blinking properly.
Okay. So if you can force yourself to blink more regularly, you might alleviate your own problem. By the way, how often should people have an eye exam?
So generally speaking, the advice is sort of every 2 years once you reach 40. Before then, if you're still doing quite well, there's no need unless you see an issue. And then for children, that's quite different. You want to see children before they go to primary school, when they go to secondary school, and then they would normally let you know if they start seeing less well. But any time that they complain to you that they don't think their eyes are right, you just have it checked out.
Someone wanting to know whether contact lenses prevent nearsightedness or myopia from actually getting worse.
Not generally. But there's a new range of contact lenses designed to specifically do that. And they are called, there are quite a few brands, there are two or three different brands, but they're designed specifically to reduce the progression of myopia. So you go in for those specific kinds of lenses. And there's also a lens that people use at night when they're asleep. It sounds very counterintuitive, but this is a lens that gets placed in your eye when you're asleep. It changes the shape of the skin on the surface. And in the morning when you wake up, you remove the lens. That changed shape of the surface remains for the next 12 hours, so you can see the next day without your glasses. And that also slows down the progression of myopia. It's called orthokeratology, ortho-K.
Okay, it's a bit like braces on your teeth.
Exactly.
Now, some of the questions coming in, this is the opposite of dry eye. Please ask your ophthalmologist if there's anything that could be done for a persistent teary eye when in windy and cold weather, and can he remember recommend an OTC eye medication? I'm 68 years of age and I'm very active outdoors. That's from Tom.
So Tom, it almost sounds, as Pat says, that this is the opposite problem, but strangely it's the same problem. So the moment you don't have enough tears and your eyes are dry, you're always then in a position to suddenly switch on what's called reflex tears. So when your eyes start feeling dry or uncomfortable, the body thinks there's something in your eye, like a small little hair or a piece of pollen or anything like this, and it switches on the reflex tears to wash it out. So the key thing you need to do initially is increase the oil component of your tears, and that's for putting a gel in at night when you go to bed. There are a number of them on the market. You just ask your pharmacist, and they can help you with any gel at night that adds to the oil layer. And then the other thing that can happen is sometimes the tear production is fine, but in fact the drainage system is slightly blocked. And so that if the gel doesn't work, you can see an ophthalmologist, and what they can do is they can unblock the little duct. It's almost like the drain of the sink.
Okay.
They can unblock that little drain to help the tears drain better.
Yeah, I'm a 42-year-old woman. My eyes are very dry and a bit sore ever since I had COVID last February. I noticed my symptoms disappeared over the summer when I was by the sea a lot. Now I'm back in the city. It's back. I was prescribed drops for day and a gel for night, but I'm wondering if it's related to COVID and do dry eyes have long-term implications?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So we wouldn't have been aware of this early on, but it turns out in the literature now that 32% of people that have had COVID have some sort of orbital involvement. So orbital involvement of the eye socket, and that's where your tear glands are. So dry can absolutely be part of the story. And the best option for now is to treat the dry eye aggressively. Treat it now that you can, you know, prevent it getting any worse. Our website, Pat, has so much information on about dry eye, with leaflets that can be downloaded, with videos that show you how to do different things. And it might be quite a good resource just to go and look and see what's out there on dry eye on our website. It's WeddingtonEyeClinic.com is the website address, and there's a lot of information there about dry eye. Now, are there long-term complications? Potentially, if you don't manage it well at the start, you can land up with chronic dry eyes that are really, they can impact your vision and they can really impact your quality of life because it's uncomfortable.
Dee says, I have tears in my eyes in the morning and more of a bag under my left eye than the right eye. Is there any reason for this?
Right, it seems like we're on dry this morning. So dry is definitely one option. The other one is that there's a nighttime exposure, that Dee potentially is sleeping with her eyes slightly open. The eye being slightly open, it dries out and starts the whole dry cycle. The other thing, especially with the bag under the eye, is that Dee could be sleeping on a feather pillow or a feather duvet, and there's an allergic component. And then the other thing is that's important is if Dee happens to wake up in the morning and the eye's a bit sore, that could suggest that the surface of the cornea, the skin layer, is being disturbed during the night thanks to the fact that the eye is slightly exposed and the lid is sticking to the cornea. So a number of things to address, starting off with gel at night.
Now, this one, I don't know what we're talking about here, but Texter says, could you tell me, is there a laser treatment for meibomian gland dysfunction? And if so, is it very successful?
So that's a great, great, great question, because this fits in very well with the dry eye we're speaking about. So meibomian glands are in your upper and your lower lids, and they are the glands that produce the oil component. So when most people today with dry eye, 86%, because there's not enough oil, because we're not blinking properly. So when we blink properly and the lids touch, that's when the meibomian glands release oil. So they can start clogging up if they're not being used. There's no laser treatment, but perhaps what Sheila's thinking about is IPL, which stands for Intense Pulsed Light Therapy. It sort of sounds like laser. And that works very well for the right person. So normally you have four sessions, sort of 2-3 weeks apart, and that typically does the trick. And then you may, on an annual basis, need one of those sessions again, just to keep those little glands working well and the oil slightly more liquid.
I got conjunctivitis, and I know others who did recently, in different countries, so therefore not from each other. Can a certain airborne virus cause this?
Yes, they can. So conjunctivitis is often, from a virus point of view, is caused by a virus called the adenovirus. And there are many, many strains of adenovirus. And they normally cause upper respiratory things, so you can quite easily pick up conjunctivitis from an adenovirus.
This one from Donal. I've had a DALK, D-A-L-K procedure. I've now been told that my recipient cornea is too thick to effectively transmit the light that's passing through the graft. I've been informed that this can be corrected by re-elevating the previous graft and peeling the remaining stromal fibres from the recipient. Would you be able to tell me any more about this procedure and if it's worth getting in these circumstances?
I must tell you, in all fairness, I'm not an expert in this particular area. Okay. But we work with the cornea all the time. And one of the ways, and it's worth discussing this with your consultant, is just to maybe look at the option of laser, because laser can very accurately reduce the thickness of the cornea and regularize the corneal shape. So that might be an option, but I would revert to the expertise of your consultant.
Mm. Any hopeful improvements coming in relation to age-related macular degeneration? That's a question from Mary.
Yes, Mary, there are two very positive developments. The first one is for someone or the group of people who have never had anything really, and that's the dry ARMD, the dry age-related macular degeneration. There's never been anything except supplements for your food, things like MacuShield or some of these. Now, there's a treatment now called Lumithera that has just been through FDA approval, and it's a light therapy. And it's a light therapy that's 5 minutes three times a week for 3 weeks. So the 9 treatments in general or in one session. And then it seems as though it might have to be repeated every 6 months. It's still too early to tell. But this is the first time ever it's been shown that the vision can actually improve. And secondly, that the little dots or drusen, we call them, in the back of the eye start decreasing. There's no such device currently in Ireland, but it's been FDA approved now. So I'm guessing it's not going to be too long before it's available. And then on the wet macular degeneration, which is the one that traditionally was the feared one, but for the last 10, 12 years, we've had injections that can be given to stop the bleeding inside the eye. That's the wet part. There's some work being done in Trinity where it seems like there might even be some genetic manipulation that can reduce that risk. So there's certainly things happening in the space. It's a big problem for society worldwide, and all the med tech and the drug companies are aware of that, so they're working hard to find better solutions.
And my 13-year-old son is being referred by the optician to an eye doctor for possible keratoconus. Don't know. Is this a serious condition?
So it could be, and especially if it's not managed correctly. So number one thing to do is stop your 13-year-old rubbing their eyes now. They've got to stop rubbing today. And what they can do is they can rub the inside corner against the nose, so on the bone. We call it finger to bone. That they can do as much as they like. If it makes sense to start using an antihistamine drop to reduce itching, that can, you know, aggravate and lead to rubbing. And then the other thing to do is make sure that the consultant who's seeing your son knows that he's 13 years old. So with that in mind, they're going to want to see him earlier, because at that age, things move more quickly in terms of keratoconus. The good news is there's fantastic treatment for it today called cross-linking, but cross-linking typically stops it from getting worse and doesn't reverse any of the change. So keratoconus, for your listeners, is where, due to rubbing often or sometimes a genetic predisposition, the rubbing leads to the cornea, which is normally quite dome-shaped, now becomes more cone-shaped. So it forms a steeper bulge, like a weak spot in a balloon that you're blowing up, and the cross-linking can stop it getting worse, but it doesn't necessarily reduce it. And that's why it's so important to have it seen as early as you can, to stop it in its earliest form.
All right, so that's the important advice. Get it seen to immediately. That's really good advice there. Arthur, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Arthur Cummings of the Wellington Eye Centre at the Beacon Clinic. All right, well, that's all we have time for on today's programme, but you can listen to all our items. They're uploaded as podcasts, and they're to be found on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.